Hi everyone, my name is Vijay Chidambaram and I'm here to talk about consistency without ordering. This is joint work with my colleague Tushar Sharma and my advisors Andrea and Ramsey Arpache Dissou at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. One of the core problems in file system research over the years has been that of providing consistency after a system crash. The problem arises because a single operation can update multiple blocks on disk. For example, if you write to an empty file, you're updating the file metadata, the data block, and also some allocation structure which marks the data block as now being used. If the system crashes in the middle of this operation, you might find that some blocks are updated on disk and some blocks are not. For example, you might find that the allocation structure did not get updated on disk, and hence we have an inconsistency where the allocation structure says block not allocated, whereas in reality it's been allocated and filled with valuable data. So after a crash, the file system always needs to be repaired, and consistency needs to be restored among the blocks and the allocation structures before it can be accessed. There have been a number of solutions to this problem over the years. At one end of the spectrum, we have the lazy, optimistic approach, where we write blocks to disk in any order, and then we fix inconsistencies upon a reboot. The advantage is that this is simple, at least conceptually, and it has high performance since the disk writes can be scheduled optimally. The disadvantage is that if a crash happens, you need very expensive recovery, typically involving a scan of the entire disk. The EXT2 file system with the FSCK program is an example of this approach. At the other end of the spectrum, you have the eager, pessimistic approach where you carefully order all writes to disk. The advantage, of course, is that you don't need to do the full scan upon crash, and you have very quick recovery. The disadvantage is that every second that the file system runs, it's actually paying a penalty because of the ordering points. For a crash, that may never happen. Soft updates, journaling, and copy on write are all different examples of this approach. The one common thing is that they all employ what we call ordering points. We consider ordering points as harmful because they reduce performance. They constrain the scheduling of disk writes, and they also increase complexity in the file system, potentially leading the way to bugs and loss of reliability. They also require lower-level primitives, such as the cache flush commands. For a file system that is running on a SATA disk, what it does is it issues a set of writes, then it issues the flush command, and then it issues the second set of writes. And the first set of writes is ordered before the second set of writes. In today's virtualized world, another problem comes up because of ordering points. The file system runs inside a virtual machine, which itself runs on top of a stack of virtual devices. If any layer or device in the stack ignores flush commands, file system consistency just fails. For example, if we look at the fsync man page in Mac OS X, they say that certain FireWire drives have been known to ignore the request to flush their buffer data. If we peek into the troubleshooting manual of VirtualBox, we find that by default, they ignore IDE flush commands for improved performance. In such a setting, file system consistency just fails. And so we tackle the problem of providing crash consistency without ordering points. We seek to find a middle ground between the lazy and the eager approaches. We want the simplicity and the high performance of the lazy approach, and the strong consistency and availability of the eager approach. We call our solution the no-order file system, or NoFS for short. It's an orderless file system which uses mutual agreement between objects in order to obtain consistency. We have derived a new crash consistency technique called backpointer-based consistency. We have theoretically and experimentally verified that NoFS provides strong consistency. We evaluated the performance of NoFS against EXT2, which is an orderless file system, and EXT3, which is a journaling variant. And we found that NoFS performs comparable to EXT2 and in EXT3 in most cases. In workloads which are sync heavy, it performs considerably better than EXT3. This is going to be the outline of my talk. First, I'll be presenting some background about crash consistency and object identity. Then I'll present the design and implementation of the no-order file system. I'll talk about our evaluation and results, and finally conclude. We believe that all file system inconsistencies can be boiled down to confusion about the logical identity of an object. By logical identity, we mean that for a data block, it's the file that it belongs to and the offset of the block. For a file, it's all the directories into which it's been linked. Several common inconsistencies, like two files claiming the same data block or a file pointing to garbage data, can be resolved if we knew the true identity of the data block. Let me illustrate this with an example. Consider a file that has a block of data. It's being read from disk into memory. Now the file is truncated and the block is free. The block is then reallocated to file B and it is filled with file B's data. Now the updated blocks are returned to disk, and before file A could actually get to disk, a crash happens. Now as a result, you can see that both file A and file B both claim the data block as their own. If both of them write to the data block, corruption is inevitable. Now we'll talk about our crash consistency technique, which is called backpointer-based consistency. The crux of the technique is that we associate each object with its logical identity. We embed what we call a backpointer into each object, which points back to the parent of the object. And consistency is obtained through mutual agreement between the parent and the child. For example, the file points to the data block. In this example, the file is the parent and the data block is the child. So the child has a backpointer to the parent, and because these two pointers agree, we know that this is a consistent pair. The key assumption in our system is that the object and the backpointer are written atomically. Currently, SCSI drives allow a 512-byte block to be written atomically with a small header. In our work, we assume the same for a 4K block. Now let us revisit our old example and see how having backpointers could help you avoid inconsistencies. So file A has a data block and it's been read from disk to memory. The file is truncated and the block is reassigned to file B. Note that the backpointer points from the data block to the file. The updated data block is returned to disk. The key point here is that the data block atomically changes its backpointer from file A to file B. There cannot be a case where it points to both file A and file B. Now, due to a crash, file A is not updated. And even though both file A and file B are pointing to the same data block, because the backpointer points to file B, we know that it's the true owner of the data block, and we can prevent any inconsistent access to the data block. File systems have different objects such as directories, files, and data blocks. In our model, we assume that a data block can only be part of one file, and therefore a data block has a single backpointer from the data block to the file. A file may be linked into several directories, and so there are many backpointers from the file to the directories. Detection of inconsistencies in NoFS depends upon every access of an object being checked to see whether the backpointer is correct. For example, if we wanted to access the data block, we would look at the pointer from the file to the data block, read in the data block, and check that the backpointer is there to the file. We extended a formal model for a file system by adding backpointers, and we defined the level of consistency that backpointer-based consistency provides. We call this data consistency. To say it briefly, it means that if you read a file, you will always get data that belongs to the file. You may not get data that's garbage or that belongs to some other file. We proved that a file system that has backpointers provides this level of consistency. Now we'll talk about non-persistent allocation structures. All file systems need to track allocation status, simply for the reason that when you want to create a new object, you need to know which blocks are free. However, a crash may leave such structures inconsistent. Let me show that with an example. Let's say file A needs a data block. The data block bitmap is referred, and we see that we found a data block which is marked as zero. The block is then allocated to file A, and the bitmap is updated. Now, because this is an orderless file system, as the blocks are getting updated, it is quite possible that the bitmap may not be updated on disk. And hence, we have an inconsistency. The bitmap says the block is free, but it is actually being used by file A. Thus, you can see that upon a crash, when a file system is rebooted, the true allocation status always needs to be found. Now, traditional file systems do this in a very proactive manner. The file system check scans the entire disk in order to know the allocation status of all objects. Journaling file systems write the status to a log while the system is still running in order to avoid the scan after a crash. In NoFS, we do not persist allocation structures. The reason we do this is twofold. First, allocation structures cannot be trusted after a crash. They need to be verified in their entirety, thus rendering them useless. The second reason is that they complicate update protocols. If you're creating a file with 1 byte of data, you have to update the file metadata, the data block, the directory, the inode bitmap, and the data block bitmap. If we do not persist allocation structures, the update protocol is considerably simplified. So even though we do not persist allocation structures, we still need to track them. We need to know which metadata or data blocks are free. We move the work of finding the allocation information from the foreground to the background. In NoFS, creation of new objects can proceed without complete allocation information. For example, let's say you wanted to create a file with 1 byte of data. For this, you need a free inode and you need a free data block. As long as those two are found, regardless of the rest of the system state, those can proceed. We are able to do this because we have back pointers. So each object is checked, and the object is determined to be in use if the back pointers mutually agree. Each object is checked individually, and we use validity bitmaps in order to track which objects we have checked and which objects we have not checked. And thus, allocation structures can be built up incrementally over the course of the file system. Let me illustrate with an example. In a traditional file system such as ext2, you have a data block bitmap which tracks the allocation status of each data block. Let us assume that this tiny file system has only 4 data blocks. Now, after a crash, when the file system comes back up, it needs to look at all the objects in the system and build up the allocation status bit by bit. At the end of the scan, a complete file system state is established. However, note that while the scan is running, you can't access the file system. It has to complete in its entirety. In contrast, in NoFS, we have 2 bitmaps, one which actually tracks the allocation status of each object, and a second one which tracks whether we have actually validated the block or not. So we start by verifying each object, and we look for mutual agreement between the parent and the child object. In this case, file A and the data block are in agreement, and hence the data block is said to be in use. We update the data block bitmap and the validity bitmap. We look at the second data block, we do not find mutual agreement, and hence we mark this to be free. Note that at this point, we have a valid free block in the system, and therefore a write could proceed at this point. We do not need to wait for the entire scan to complete. Similarly, the rest of the data blocks are scanned, and the file system state is built up and recorded in the allocation structure. Again, we stress that complete allocation information is not needed for the file system to be accessed. We discover the allocation information using 2 background threads, one for metadata and one for data. Now, the scan can actually be scheduled as convenient. It can be scheduled to run when the file system is idle. It could be scheduled to run periodically, depending upon your workload. So let me summarize the design of NoFS. So this is the traditional file system with allocation structures both on memory and on disk, and different objects such as the directory, the file, and the data block. The first change that we make is that we add back pointers to the objects. The second change is that allocation structures are no longer persisted to disk. The third change is that we need additional data structures in order to track what blocks we have validated and what blocks we have not validated. We implemented NoFS based on the ext2 codebase since it's an orderless file system. We had 3 types of back pointers, one for each type of object in the system. Data block back pointers had the inode number of the parent and the block offset. The inode backlinks had the inode number of all the parent inodes. We used the dot directory entry in directory blocks as the back pointer. We changed the file system so that this dot entry is found in every directory block instead of the first one. We also increased the size of the inode in order to support these backlinks. We have also modified the Linux page cache to add the checks whenever a block is read or written. Please refer to the paper for more details. Now we'll talk about our evaluation and results. In the evaluation, we sought to answer 3 important questions. The first one is NoFS actually robust against crashes? We employed fault injection testing in order to answer this question. What is the overhead of NoFS? We ran a number of micro and macro benchmarks and evaluated this. And thirdly, how does the background scan affect performance? We measured write bandwidth and object access latency while the scan is running in order to determine this. So in order to find out if NoFS is robust against crashes, we interposed a pseudo device driver between the file system and the disk. So all writes from the file system go via the driver. In the driver, we just discard writes to selected sectors. Using this technique, we can say inode X is not going to be updated on disk. Block Y is not going to be updated on disk, and so on. So therefore, we were able to emulate crashes with different blocks being successfully updated on disk. We tried 20 different crash scenarios, and we found that NOFS detected inconsistencies in all scenarios. Whenever an invalid access was found, an error was returned. Whenever, due to a crash, a block or an inode was orphaned, it was reclaimed on the next scan. We also wanted to determine the performance overhead of NOFS. We used a number of micro and macro benchmarks, and I'm going to present only a selection of the results here. Please refer to the paper for the complete results. The x-axis denotes the workload that we used, and the y-axis denotes normalized throughput versus the ext2 file system. As you can see, the performance of NOFS is very similar to that of ext2, even though NOFS provides considerably stronger consistency guarantees. In the sequential write benchmark, ext3 undergoes a performance degradation. We believe this is due to the extra journaling writes that ext3 performs. In workloads such as file creation and var mail, we can see that there are a number of syncs in the workloads, and each sync translates to an ordering point in the file system. Due to all these ordering points, ext3 pays a heavy performance penalty. So in summary, NOFS performance is comparable to that of an orderless file system such as ext2. NOFS performs considerably better than ext3 for sync-heavy workloads. The background scan affects performance in two ways. The first one is, while the scan is running, if your file system is doing I/O, those I/O are interleaved with the scan reads, and hence you experience performance degradation. Secondly, when you're accessing an object that has not been verified by the scan, you are effectively moving that verification work from the background to the foreground, and hence you pay a performance penalty. We wanted to find out the performance degradation due to the interleaving of the scan reads with the application reads and writes. Hence, we ran an experiment where we wrote a 200 megabyte file every 30 seconds after file system mount, and we measured the bandwidth that was obtained. This graph depicts the results. The x-axis is the time after file system mount, and the y-axis is the bandwidth that is obtained. As you can see, after an initial period of time, all the writes obtain high bandwidth. But if we zoom in into the initial portion, we see that while the scan is running, due to the interleaving that is happening, the writes achieve low bandwidth. Whereas after the scan completes, high bandwidth is attained. So in summary, I/O bandwidth is reduced during scan, but peak performance can be achieved once the scan completes. Also note that we can schedule the scan during idle periods or in order to offset this performance penalty. The second issue is what happens when you access an object that has not been verified by the scan yet. For example, if you run stat upon an inode, it returns the number of blocks that have been allocated to that particular inode. If it's an unverified inode, we don't know if it actually has the blocks that it says it has, and hence this information might be stale. In order to counter this, when a stat call is done on an unverified inode, NOFS first verifies the inode and then allows the stat call to complete. Verifying the inode requires reading each data block and checking that the back pointer points to this inode. In order to bring out the performance degradation due to this, we ran an experiment where we created a number of directories with 128 files, each of size 1 megabyte. After file system mount, at every 50 second interval, we did an ls-l on a directory. This translates to a stat on every inode in the directory. If the inode is unverified, that again translates into reading all of its data. So by measuring the time taken for ls to complete, we can take a look at the performance degradation that is happening. So this graph depicts the results. The x-axis is the time after file system mount, and the y-axis is the time taken for the ls call to complete. Now, before the scan completes, one of two things might happen. When you run stat upon an inode, it could be an unverified inode, in which case, NOFS will verify the inode for you in the foreground. Because the inodes are 1 megabyte in size, this takes a lot of time. You could also read a verified inode while the scan is still running, and in this case, there is no performance penalty. Of course, after the scan completes, all inodes are verified, and hence this performance penalty is not incurred. So in conclusion, if you access an unverified object during the scan, you pay a performance penalty. However, this is a one-time cost. The second time that you access this unverified object, you don't pay this penalty. Also, this only happens in the window between file system mount and the scan completion. So in summary, we tackle the problem of providing crash consistency and high availability without ordering points. The no-order file system is an orderless file system which uses backpointer-based consistency in order to provide consistency. We use mutual agreement between objects to derive consistency. It has a number of advantages, such as strong consistency guarantees, while still having performance similar to that of an orderless file system. In conclusion, we believe that trust is implicit in many layers of the storage system today. If you take any disk, be it a virtual disk or a physical disk, we always believe that we can enforce ordering upon the disk. We believe that such trust is misplaced and that removing such trust is key to building robust and reliable storage systems. Thank you, and I would be happy to take questions.
Right. Peter Matsko from Harvard. I like the idea of using backpointers, and I think it's very interesting.
Thank you.
But one thing that I was wondering about, because you need to keep these validation bitmaps and algorithm structures in RAM, so about what's the memory overhead of your system?
So currently, we only need to keep the validity bitmaps in addition to whatever data structures the file system was previously maintaining. And since the bitmap is guaranteed to fit inside one block, you have one extra block of memory for every block group in the system. Other than that, we don't need to store any extra data in memory.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bill Velasky from Microsoft. How big were the file systems that you were using in your examples?
So the file systems were not huge in the sense that they were run upon a 50 gig partition, and they had around 1 to 5 gigabytes of data.
Okay, because you were showing scan times completing in a couple minutes, but mm-hmm. the surface scan time for a 3 terabyte disk is 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And if you've got a file system that's close to full and you want to write onto it, do you have to wait for 4 or 5 hours after you mount it to find the free space or to know that you don't have any and fail to write?
If you have like a very almost full file system, finding a free block will take a lot of time. But in the common case, we believe that finding free space should be fast, and the file system can proceed while free space is being found.
Yeah, we've published papers on the distribution of file system fullness, and there are some full ones. But it's not all of them. But folklore seems to think that they're all full, and they're really not. But there are full ones, and it's an issue if you take hours and hours to find
right.
it out.
Right. For a full file system, this would probably be not the best approach.
Hi, Ashwin Goel. I was just wondering if this approach works for all disks, in particular the back pointers for the data blocks.
So the ability that we require is that we need the 4K block and the back pointer to be written atomically. So any disk that provides that ability, we can run NoFS on top of that.
Sorry, where do you store the back pointers for the data blocks?
Inside the data blocks. I mean, in our implementation, we're currently storing it inside the data blocks, but we believe that a disk that provides sort of an out-of-band area next to each data block that can be written atomically with the data block, we would use that out-of-band area.
Okay, thanks.
Hey there, Keith Smith from NetApp. So in response to a previous comment when you were saying that all you need is 1 bit of memory per block on disk for the allocation maps, I don't think it detracts from your work at all, but some file systems get big enough that there isn't you don't have enough memory to do that. So it's something to think about. But my real question, I wanted to, several times you talk about getting strong consistency guarantees from this, and I was wondering if you could be more concrete about what exactly that means. I mean, it seems like you don't get all of the guarantees I get from some file systems I use today. Are files created on disk in the same order that the application did it, for example? So do you have a precise definition of what consistency you do and don't do?
Right. So you're right in that any application or a file system that depends on the blocks being created in the exact order in which they were created in memory to be created on disk, NoFS would not work for them. And while we provide the consistency that we provide is called data consistency, wherein we say that if you access a file, we are sure that this data belongs to this file. It could be stale data. It could be like from a previous version of the file, but the backpointers do agree. The inode numbers match. So this data belonged to this file at some point of time. So that's the guarantee that we provide. In terms of comparing to something like EXT3, EXT3 has transactions, so it provides a richer set of features. With transactions, you have this atomic property wherein you have a number of operations, and you can be sure that all of them will succeed or none of them will succeed. In NoFS, we don't have that property, right? Operations can be partially applied, and we would detect inconsistencies as a result of that partial updation, but there's no way we can roll back to a previous state of the file system.
Right, and I think there's no guarantee that the state of the file system that you get after a crash is a state that ever existed at some real runtime before the crash from the perception of applications, because the temporal ordering of what winds up on disk can be completely different from what went through the cache.
Exactly.
And I think it's really cool to experiment with changing that and seeing if you get enough performance to make it worth living that way. I'm just wanted to make sure I had the understand that really was what I understood to be happening.
Okay. Thank you.
Dave Anderson of Seagate, I think this is really interesting.
Thank you.
Have you thought about other problems it could solve? So you looked at using it to solve your file mm-hmm. system consistency problem, but actually it could be used for other really big problems.
Mm-hmm. So in any system where there is a hierarchy of objects, wherein you have parents and child, and you want some kind of consistency in guarantees.
It's all file system stuff. It can fix a completely different set of problems.
Right. It could be used in other domains where there's a hierarchy that's there. That's the general property that we look for.
I'll talk to you about it sometime. Oh, and that those extra beyond 512 bytes are not out of band. They're written in band.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, Brad Morey from HP Labs. So you talk about the throughput relative to EXT2 and EXT3, and someone asked a question about the memory consumption. Did you quantify how much extra CPU you're using? Like what sort of, or the extra number of cycles, the extra computations you're doing?
Right, so we had a benchmark where we looked at like the CPU consumption of the file system, and we found that it was not noticeably different from EXT2. We were worried about the same thing because we were doing all these extra checks.
Yeah.
But we found that it was not noticeably there. The reason it's not noticeable is that we only check for the backpointer every time a block is read into memory. Once it's in memory, we don't do any additional checks. Only at the layer between the disk and memory do we do the check. And because of that, the CPU consumption is not that high.
Okay, so but you didn't measure it. You don't know what the extra cycles you spent doing the checks?
No, we don't know the exact number, no.
Okay,
sorry.
It wasn't noticeable, though. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Dong in South National University. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether the backpointer is also removed when deleting file, right?
Mm-hmm. So currently we do what we call lazy deletion. So that if you have a file that is pointing to a block, and the block has a backpointer to the file, mm-hmm. when we delete the file, we don't go through all the data blocks and then reset the backpointers. As long as there is not mutual agreement, the file system will not allow access. So as long as you remove the pointer in the file, the fact that the data block is pointing to the file becomes irrelevant.
I think I think there is any inconsistent state when in extent the file reused metadata points are linked to the data block and data mm-hmm. block in extent cross pointer.
Yes. So that's part of the consistency model that we provide. So we on a read we can return stale data, as in the data could belong to this file at some point in the past. So you know, if we wanted to provide stronger consistency, which we call version consistency, we would need timestamps so that we know that, or version numbers, wherein we know that this is the version of the data block that the file is referring to, and this is the version of the file that the data block is referring to. If we had those things, we could provide the consistency that you're talking about. Thank you.
Is there any case where an inode or an object, once it's been verified, it's always verified until crash, remount, whatever, is that correct?
Yes. We assume a model where there's no memory corruption. So once it's in memory, we don't check it again.
Right. So do you free up the structures that you use to scan the file system once it's been scanned and everything has been validated?
So we currently only have the block bitmaps, the validity bitmaps. Other than that, we don't keep any structure per block or file that we scan. So there's nothing that we would need to free after the check has been performed. Thank you.
Let's thank the speaker.